Hey, Julian, listen to this. The bosses at Cambridge 105 Radio, they're giving us an extra 30 minutes.
Lucy, I've always liked them.
That means there's more time for community interviews.
And more about local entertainment and theatre.
And there's more time for requests on Jukebox Friday.
Join us for Cambridge Breakfast, weekdays on Cambridge 105 Radio, from 7 to 9.
30.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
10 minutes after 8 o'clock, Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Millard. So, MPs have voted against leaving the EU without a deal. Theresa May has now promised them another vote tonight on whether to delay Brexit. They'll be asked if they want a one-off extension until the end of June if they approve her withdrawal agreement by next Wednesday. Daniel Zeichner is the MP for Cambridge. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning, Julian.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Where do we start in all of this? How did you vote last night?
Well, I voted, as I have done throughout this whole process, to keep us in the European Union. So it was an extraordinary day because we had the Chancellor in very clear terms explaining what a no deal would mean. And yet by the end of the same day, the Chancellor himself was having to vote against stopping a no deal.
Well, he wasn't necessarily having to.
The government has just broken down in front of our eyes, frankly.
Because about, I think it was something like 12 ministers either abstained or voted against, and with the exception, I think, of one resignation last night, quiet. I almost expect to come in this morning and see a gradual trickle of sackings and replacements.
Well, in normal times, that's exactly what one would expect. And I think that the thing that commentators haven't really talked about is the fact this is a consequence of the 2017 election when the Prime Minister, you remember, she went and asked for a strong mandate from the British people. And, of course, she didn't get it. And so we've now got a hung parliament, and it means that all her authority that normally a Prime Minister has through a majority has gone. But what happened yesterday, and I think this will see this unwind, is it also now what goodwill there was, in some cases from the Conservative side, is now also ebbing away because so many promises and half-promises were made and then people were put in a very difficult position at the end of the day. And I have some sympathy with Conservatives who found themselves in that position where, honestly, people know how disastrous no deal would be. So, of course you've got to vote against it. There's nothing else any rational person could do. Mm. And that, of course, is why it was carried. But, of course, the problem is that even though Parliament has expressed its will, the Prime Minister refuses to listen. She says, well, that's what you think, but I know better.
I noticed Mr Corbyn listed possibly most of the alternative options in his response to Mrs May last night. Which of them would you say would give the best outcome for us here in Cambridge?
Oh, I mean, no doubt, and I've been saying it all week and for months, we should revoke Article 50 now and stop this nonsense. But unfortunately, that's a view that people in Cambridge hold, but it isn't a view that's shared across the country. And one of the dilemmas here is, in the end, although there isn't a majority in Parliament, the numbers are so finely balanced that basically anyone who's trying to achieve anything has to persuade others, which is why it's very, very delicate. And Yvette Cooper, in particular, I think, has done a very good job at building cross-party alliances. But it does make it very unpredictable. So I think Jeremy is right to say, actually, the best thing would be to go to a general election, which I think is probably quite likely.
But Daniel, if that happens, if we were to get a general election, what would Labour put in the manifesto? Could your party generally say a second referendum? Because there are MPs, as we know, Labour MPs like you, who you'll be with on almost every other issue which is brought up. But for their constituents, they want the complete opposite for than Cambridge.
Well, and I don't call it a second referendum. I think it's a final say on whatever is agreed. And I think that actually would be the best thing that we could do now. Go to that, give the people a vote on what the Prime Minister's come up with after 2.5 years. But I think if we go into a general election, one of the key things about this is we're partly in this mess because the Prime Minister made a decision right at the outset to go for a very hard Brexit. Now, if she'd gone for something much softer along the lines that Labour has been suggesting throughout, she might well have found that she could have got a majority in the House of Commons for that. Now, I wouldn't want that because I would want to stay in the European Union. But actually, Labour's current proposal, it's actually been on the table all the way through, to stay in the customs union, to have very close alignment with the single market and protecting rights for workers, for the environment, and for consumers, actually, that would satisfy, I think, a majority in the House of Commons and a majority in the country.
Daniel, it's Lucy here. I'm kind of curious on your thoughts on this one. Like, with all the trouble that this has brought about, do you think government will ever ask the public to vote on a referendum ever again?
It's a very good question. I suspect unlikely, frankly, because what this has shown is that on very complicated questions, it's very hard to come up with a simple yes-no answer. Part of the problem is that 48% of people voted for something which was very clearly achievable. It was as we were. But 52% have voted for a whole range of things. And that's what we're seeing emerging now, because there's a very clear faction within the Conservative Party now, the European Research Group, and they have a very specific view of what Brexit means, which is quite different from the view that people like Philip Hammond, Greg Clark, people like that hold. So which one was it that people voted for in the referendum? Well, we don't know. And that's why, actually, I think a representative democracy, where you send people off with a clear set of values and aims, but let them do the detail, is a better system.
You also have concerns about the Chancellor's statement yesterday and the lack of investment in education.
Yes, I mean, it all got rather overshadowed, to put it mildly. But I thought what was disappointing, I mean, we've seen some of our local head teachers, Chris Tooley at Netherhall and others in national press, Tony Davis at St Matthews, talking about just what the financial problems mean for those schools. They really, really are making awful decisions. And I thought yesterday was an opportunity when the Chancellor could have responded, and he didn't. Again, I mean, last year, you remember, he notoriously talked about some little extras for schools, which incensed people quite rightly. We've also got this terrible threat to our maintained nursery schools in Cambridge. So a whole range of things that he could have done yesterday, and he didn't.
Well, Daniel, another Brexit vote tonight. Is this another 7 o'clock?
I'm told it's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock?
Well, it's unusual for votes to be held on a Thursday in Parliament because, of course, people in Scotland, the North and the far
south. I guess they want to head home to their constituencies, won't they?
Well, they'll often have engagements set up, certainly for Friday. But these are extraordinary times. It's not about the convenience of MPs. At least it means the vote should come through for the evening news schedules, I think, although nothing can be certain. And there is a point here, which is that the time left for debate for MPs is actually very short, and it means that most of us who aren't, it's a very hierarchical thing, the most senior, long-established politicians get to speak first. And there were some of my colleagues who sat in the chamber for 6 hours yesterday and didn't manage to even get called for a second. So on such big, weighty issues, you might have thought there would have been proper time for people to make their contribution, but basically, this is a prime minister who's completely imperiled now and breaking down. Sadly, her health is clearly a problem for her as well, and I have sympathy on that.
Yes.
But the only way her only strategy is just to ram it through any way she can. I mean, my comparison with all of this is like if you're living in a flat which you don't much like, and you've had a bit of a disagreement with your partner about whether you should leave or not. This is like handing in your notice to your landlord. You've got no idea where you're going. The comparison is you're having an argument in the hallway, and the Prime Minister's idea of success would be just about getting out the door and collapsing in a heap. Now, I don't think that's a very good way of running a country. And I think most people, if they saw it like that, most sensible people would say, well, isn't it a good idea to at least have fixed up somewhere else where you're going before you start leaving? And that's the problem.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Daniel. I think that Mr. Speaker should call people in reverse alphabetical order. That's clearly the solution.
So do I. But I did complain once, and I noticed that I was put even further down the list. So there's a lesson in life.
Yeah. Thanks for your time this morning, Daniel.
Thank you.
Thanks. Bye. Cambridge 105 Radio.